Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company. Mindful Coffee is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Trust us when we say this is a cup of Joe you will crave every morning. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys. Again, another fun episode. I'm riding solo today, and I'm riding with someone who I've looked into, looked up to in the beer world, and it is Mikey Riedel. Mikey, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you are a big time. You're a celebrity. Let's be real.
No,
you're a celebrity amongst the craft beer industry.
I have the advantage of being around a while.
I like that. I like that a lot. But you're well known and everyone knows you. Anyone in the craft beer scene knows you for your Utah beer blog. You're the founder and writer of it, correct?
Yep.
And you started that over 15 years ago.
In late 2005.
Wow. And still trucking, brother.
You know, I did say, if you're going to do it, commit.
Yeah.
Don't just do it half-assed, and I didn't think I'd be still doing it after all this time. That's for damn sure.
Absolutely. Wow, that's fascinating. But, I mean, everyone knows you try your best to do New Beer Friday, right?
Yeah, New Beer Friday has kind of become my only surviving staple. Social media pretty much killed all the, the blog-type sites, which were, back then were, pretty unique, and there was really not much social media. I mean, there was, I think, what was it? The original social media, MySpace, was just barely coming around, and nobody was going to look for beer information from every website that every brewery have. It's just too much to go through, and nobody wanted to go through all that. Yeah. So I was kind of doing it all for you. In one place, and I would try and have content every day, and for a while I did, but when social media and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter started becoming really popular, it's slowly just cut away a little bit, readership, and so I just try and find relevancy in our market as best I can.
That's interesting. That's fascinating. Because I guess, the world's changed in 15 years. It's changed in five. It's changed in 2 years.
I mean. Yeah, and it's hard to keep up. And podcasts, Instagram live videos. I mean, everybody's trying to create a niche and get the information out about how awesome craft beer is, like you're doing here. And I appreciate that. And so it's just trying to keep up and have a good time.
I'm glad. I like that last part. Have a good time. You gotta go back to that, right? If you're not having fun, why do it?
Exactly. I mean, and how can you not have fun with craft beer?
Drinking beer. Usually it's good beer. That's great. All right, Mike, let's go to the beginning. Who are you? Who are you? Where are you from? What's going on? Who's Mikey? Tell me.
I'm Homer. I was born and raised in Salt Lake County. Awesome. Grew up in Sandy area.
Okay.
I probably get my fondness from beer from my pop. His parents immigrated from Germany.
Oh, damn.
And so he's, I get that appreciation from those styles of beers from him. And I was not much of a beer drinker in my youth, like a lot of people my age or any age. You get into beer and you're drinking the Bud and the Coors and the Miller Lights and all that stuff. And, I was particularly fond of Coors Light. It was, I drank a lot of it and enjoyed it while I was drinking it in my early 20s, and then fell in love with Wasatch Squatters, Uinta, when all those started coming out in the late 80s and early 90s, and really enjoyed drinking those and drunk those pretty much solely from that point on.
Yeah.
And then when after I got married, my wife and I went to the Great American Beer Festival. I think it was in late, like, I want to say 98.
Okay.
And I'm just like, wow, there's just so much more out there. And it's so good.
That's beautiful.
And our stuff in Utah is just as good as any other stuff.
Don't tell everyone that.
That's how I got into it. So I was just like, we're making shit as good as these guys are. So I started homebrewing so I could learn more about it. Mm. Why does it taste good? You know, what makes it better or worse or the same as, you know, what, you know, people from outside the state are drinking or from, you know, the large breweries, you know, why are they making beer that tastes perfect every time, every day, no matter where you go in the world? So it's fun learning that part. And then after that, I just started getting so much shit from people from out of state about Utah beer. They're like, oh, it's just watery crap. And I'm like, no. You've got your biases, of course, everybody does.
Yeah.
But I'm just into, you know, defending our suds. You know, I've met the brewers. I know how hard it is to make a low point beer that tastes good, not just a watery, you know, version of an IPA.
Right.
So that's where I started writing about it. It's like somebody's got to advocate because I'm passionate about it. I think it's great. And did my best to stick up for the local suds and still doing it.
You're still doing it. My God. I love it. I love it so much. And you've been doing it the whole time by yourself?
Yeah. I've had some contributors over the years. But for the most part, it's just whenever I have time and fresh info to
fresh
share.
Fresh info, yeah. So we'll go straight to it. How many times, how do you get that fresh info? Do you actually go to each and every brewery or do you have an email list where brewers send it to you? How do you keep that on top of it?
A lot of emails. Over the years, I've created a lot of wonderful friendships from just, you know, being a pain in their ass, and just texts, emails, just like, hey, what's going on? Sorry about you. Hey, you got some? What's going on this Friday? Anything new? What's happening? You guys got, you know, anything important happening in your brewery, you know, promotions, you know, new equipment, you know, nerdy stuff. So yeah, just keep bugging. And sometimes, you know, being a pain in the ass, you know, has the advantage of, you know, them calling you after a while.
And just like,
I want you to try this. So that's fun. So
I love it. Well, you brought some beers for us, and I'm curious to, we were cracking open the Mikey Citra from Two Row, the India, the IPA lager.
That's been floating around for, off and on for a few years. It was a style I came across by accident from visiting what the brewery was, but they had a major screw up in their brew house, and they had to dump like 80 barrels of this mistake.
Oh,
and that was very close to the mistake they had to dump, because they were making a pilsner, and somebody accidentally dumped the wrong hops into it, and there just happened to be Citra hops, and one of the brewers was like, "Come here, you got to try this before we dump it," and I'm like, "All right," and we just got into it, and I'm just like, "You can't dump this. This is so incredible. What is this?" And he's like, gives me the spiel I just gave you. And I'm just, it breaks my heart. Like, can I get a growler fill of it anyway? So that stuck with me for a while. And then Brian and I were from Two Row, were chatting, and he's like, "We should make a beer." And I'm like, "I would love to do that. I have the best idea," because he's such a gifted brewer in regards to the utilization of hops. And I'm like, "We need to make a summer crushable lager that drinks like an IPA, but it's just nice and crisp."
Mm-hmm.
And That's what he came up with, and he named it what it's named without any input from me. He just...
I like it. And the art, where did the art come from, do you know? Because it has your mug with a mug in front of your laptop with a hop on it. I love it.
Brian had that commissioned. The original label was just a blank with the name on it. And 1 year, it was actually, I got a text from a pal, fellow beer nerd in Philly. And he happened to be looking at a TTB website. And he's like, "What the hell is this?" And I wait, you know, I get out of bed because, you know, he's East Coast, West Coast. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I have no freaking idea what that is. Very flattering, big surprise. I don't think it helps sales at all. Looking at that little...
Oh, stop.
Look at that little hobbit on the label.
I love
there.
It. I loved it. I saw it. I'm like, I have to get this. I went for a different reason and I saw that. I'm like, you know what? This is so ironic because, I mean, it's meant to be. I knew I was going to be interviewing this week, and I'm like, you know what? I have to grab this just because I want to hear this. There's got to be a story behind it. And there is. But what's it feel like to see your mug on a bottle of beer? And you talk craft beer.
Yeah, it's weird for sure. And stranger, even embarrassing to inadequate sometimes, because I was at the Bayou last week, and one of the bartenders came over and said, like, one of the customers would like you to sign this. And I'm like, get the F out of here.
No way. See, told celebrity.
Like,
it's fine.
Damn it. That's
cool.
A lot of inadequacy, but it makes you feel good, obviously.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, you're humble about it. But the thing about it, and you said it earlier in the conversation, was you're passionate about it. And I feel like once the passion leaves, I'd be like, what the hell is the purpose? You know, and I feel like you're still doing it because you care. And we're just getting to know each other. Because we ironically met, I use that word like multiple times already, but we met earlier this week at Hopkins by chance. I didn't even know. I was making a little stop just to, and all of a sudden I'm like, I hear a chat comes downstairs and say, "Hey, Mikey's upstairs." What the hell? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. So I went upstairs. We broke the ice because we were going to come in this blind and just meet each other and get to go, you know, I have questions out the wazoo for you. But I, the fact that you are well known and you've been doing this, and then you had another one from Epic, they made the 15-year anniversary Vanilla Porter. How did that one turn out? I mean, that was probably a palate wrecker at the moment, but what are you talking about? Tell us about that one.
Again, what went with a style that I'm fond with, this is a Vanilla Porter. And again, they were kind enough to slap my logo on one of their labels and sell it at the brewery and at the DBC. And I love vanilla. I think it works great in porters, and I wanted a nice, highly drinkable beer that showcases vanilla and a little roast. And this is pretty much exactly what I ordered. It's 5.5%. I mean, you would think it'd be a palate wrecker, but it's not. It's actually quite drinkable.
Let's break her open, though, if you don't mind.
It's simple. To me, it hits all the right notes, and I got a lot of really positive feedback, and it's something that not a lot of breweries have been making.
You know, porters?
You know, porters, vanilla porters or vanilla stouts. I mean, there's some that hit occasionally, but, you know, just the added body and roast from a porter and the... And that vanilla bean was just, you know, it just smells like happiness. You know, whenever I'm feeling, it
smells like happiness.
When I'm feeling crappy or just, you know, I need a mood changer, you know, I just stick my nose in a jar of vanilla bean.
See, I'll tell you what, I've been preaching, one of my sponsors and dear friends, Sweet Vinyl Bake Shop, Melissa Diaz. She's the one that does the boozy cupcakes.
She's brilliant.
I love it. I love what she's doing. She needs to keep making cupcakes forever and hire an assistant so she can do it forever. However, her and I have this ongoing joke that every time I smell a delicious beer like this, we should make a candle out of it. Let's get into the beer, craft beer candle scene, Mike. You and I, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Because, like, I would love to smell. Like, imagine this in the wintertime or even in the summer. You know, just lighting this up and then this aroma hit the house. Oh, yeah. My God. Happiness. I like that. It reminds me. I don't know. I feel like I want to go skiing. For some reason.
It's not going to hit you over the head. It's just, it's right there in the name. It's just vanilla porter. It's just.
Ooh. Yeah, you got like simple roastiness, not over the top, complemented by the vanilla. But I think it's a little heavier on the vanilla than it is roasty, but I like that. I like that a lot. Ooh.
And we didn't go too heavy on the dark malts. It means you hold it up to light. It's very ruby. It's very mahogany when you look at it. It's not a dark opaque.
So why do you think this wouldn't do well? You said that, was it porters or vanilla, in essence, that don't really do well in the Utah community? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's either. For some reason, being somebody who would pursue those type of beers, if they were available, I didn't see them very often. Mm. I can think of a handful of breweries that have probably put them out, and I hadn't seen them for years. Mm-hmm. And again, when these beers were made, I should point out, for the 15th anniversary of the blog, of the website, teamed up with four breweries to make four beers for charity, and all the breweries that made these beers, the Mikey Citra, the Vanilla Porter from Epic, the Rye Pale from Fisher, and the German Alt beer from TF.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I never got a chance to try that one.
It's because I drank it all.
I don't blame you. Well, what Kevin's doing over there is fantastic.
It was so fun, and all the breweries were so easy and just like, let's, you know, you go for it.
That's awesome.
And you know, we'll rein you in. It's, you know, if we have to, but you know, it's just like, you know, and I just wanted to make some simple beers that I thought were very drinkable, very palatable. And universally, something that people would be drawn to, and you know, two lagers and two ales.
That's awesome. I like how it went to charity. Did you have any help in the recipe development for either of those beers?
Kevin at TF was very helpful in giving me rein in yeast selection and the grain bill. That was helpful, and because he knows much more about that stuff than I do, and provided me some great examples, and pretty much left it up to me. And like on yeast selection, he's like, you know, we're looking at the data on each particular type of yeast, and he's given me, you know, samples to just to kind of sniff, and he came across with this one German varietal of alt yeast that I can't believe he brought it in from the UK so we could have it. And he bought this big 2-gallon container full of yeast for this. Crack that thing open. Take a swift. It's like, it smelled like strawberries. And I'm just like, yeah, I think we made the right call. Because this
really?
I have a feeling this is going to do just fine. And, that was one example of just, you know, you come in and let me taste it, you know, during fermentation and lagering, even though it's kind of an ale, you know, right. still lagered it for a while, you know, and that was really fun to experiment on that level.
Yeah.
And then others like the beer we did with Fisher, they made me work on that beer.
Oh, hell yeah.
They made me.
Put your ass down on the
dish. Yeah, you're, get your ass and hover over that kettle all day. And it was fun. And they just like, yeah, just turn the music on in the brew house, whatever you want. Let's just go. And Colby, you know, was like, here's the hops we have in house, and just go for it. And we'll figure out what works best.
Oh my
and
God, gave you free reign. Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Wonderful guys. And gals, and they're the reason why I'm still beating this drum.
That's awesome. Yeah, Fisher, I think we're talking about when I interviewed the Pink Boots, talked about what's a brewery that probably is like the go-to for everyone. And if you want to find a brewer, we all agreed that you go to Fisher. That's the brewer's brewery is. Go to Fisher, because I feel like you'd always see a brewer. And those boys, what they're doing over there is fantastic.
I agree. You'll run into somebody from another brewery.
Yeah.
At Fisher.
That's awesome.
And other places too.
Absolutely.
I see, you know, on my beer runs, you know, I'll just plant my ass at the bar and
see who shows up. But like, I love how we're all supporting each other, you know, locally, and that's beautiful. How many times a week do you think you've been drinking beer to get the blog going?
One.
So you spend one day just going around and kind of drinking these new beers.
It's my schedule is not kind to drinking a lot during the week because I get up very early. I'm a videographer for Fox 13. That's my day job, and I get my ass up before the ass crack of dawn. And I don't drink. I don't sleep well when I drink, so that's pretty much out. So Thursday's my and I air quotes research day. And I'm out and I get as much done in that day as I can. And there are some days where I just, you know, I have to go out and at least pick something up and crack it before I go to bed and, you know, get a good idea because it's too many. Back in 05, there were probably 14 breweries.
Yeah.
And not everybody was doing something every week, and sensory was not a huge part of what I did. But the more breweries come in, more rotation of product, more stuff, next thing you know, there's 15 beers, one Mikey.
Right, one Mikey, I like that.
And, Uber. And you're on your way.
Is it tiring, Mikey? Is it really that? Is it tiring to, you've done it for 15 years. Have you missed a week, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, you miss a week. Is it tiring to sit there almost every week and trying, you know, 3, 4, 5, 15 beers every week and doing this nonstop all year round?
Yeah, there are some days where, I mean, you know, pull out your tiny violin, you know, and play me a...
What a hard life you have.
Yeah.
Your research is so hard.
Yeah, I mean, like anything, there are days you just like, I just do not want a beer today. Mm-hmm. But you're like, well, it's kind of become it has become a part-time job. And you got to show up, you know. And there, like you said, you know, there's been weeks I've missed because of either vacation or last week out on a story in Central Utah with no internet. It just happened to be Friday, and I couldn't publish. So I'm just like, sorry.
Right. But, I mean, who's pressuring you to do this? No one. If you were to miss a week, who's to blame you? Who's to get mad at you?
People are very kind. They're not like, yo, douchebag.
Exactly.
Where's my free info?
Yeah.
You know, you're doing everybody was
service for in your own time for people.
Yeah. The words I'm hearing were, is everything okay? You all right?
Oh, okay. You good? Mikey, did you die?
So I'm like, well, I'm good, thank you.
Then I got two important questions then. One, how's it doing on your health? Drinking 15 years, all that beer, do you think you sometimes have to like, okay, my liver needs a little break or...
Oh,
my stomach's
I'm one of the original dryuary creators.
Gotcha.
I eat every January for the last 10 plus years. It was just, nope. No beer, no alcohol.
And good for you.
That's not for any reason, but just because it's my thing. My thing is the alcohol. The alcohol is not my thing.
I like that. And that's a good respect you have with that. This one's probably the most important question off of what we just talked about. You mentioned earlier you were married. And
still am.
I still am, thank God, right? And I interviewed your wife before interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Corinne. I think Corinne is a badass.
She's a badass.
She is a badass. And Corinne, I know you're listening, and thank you for all you do. And I can't wait to give you a hug next time I see you. Mikey, favorite beer memory with Corinne?
Oh, boy. There are a lot. We went to the Avery Brewing in Colorado.
Okay.
They would put on a like a strong ale festival.
Okay.
And they have it. They'd have it at the brewery, and we just I think Epic was participating in that festival, which Kryn worked for, and they invited Epic representatives to the festival, and she's like, "Do you want to go?" I'm like, "Sure." Let's drive our butts out to Colorado. What's it, Colorado Springs? No, Boulder. Drive our asses out to Boulder in the middle of winter.
Oosh.
Which I don't recommend driving through Wyoming in the winter. Abbott just happened to see some friends from Salt Lake there as well. It was one of those, when you do something kind of impromptu, there's not a lot of planning involved. They just kind of let things happen. And it was one of those nice festivals where it just happened. And, the people at Avery couldn't have been more generous and more accommodating. And it was, we talk about the camaraderie in beer in Utah. I mean, it's nationwide. It's worldwide.
That's awesome.
I remember Kryn was commenting on one of the employees from Avery. She had this nice Avery jacket, logoed, and it just looked really nice. And she's just like, "Where can I get one of those?" And she's like, "Oh, these are just for employees. We don't have any." But she gave her own jacket.
No way.
And that was so cool. And Kryn was like so blown away. She, first thing she did when she got home was she got a Epic jacket and reciprocated and mailed that out to her. So I thought, those are fond memories.
That's awesome.
I appreciate stuff like that because...
Because she's a badass and she's just got the biggest heart.
Yeah.
My favorite was she called herself the mom of Epic Brewing. And I just like, this is so fun. I love it. And she's like, "David, every time you're around, and anytime I see any of those girls when I go up north, mm-hmm. I give them a hug because they're badasses. I mean, like Pink Boots, what they're doing, fantastic. And all of them. And we all have different gifts we're giving to the community. And Corinne's one of them. And who doesn't know her? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Definitely got some excellent ladies.
Absolutely.
In craft brew in Utah.
To piggyback off that question, you make time for the beer. Please tell me you make time for Kryn.
Yeah, we go out all the time. We're going to try and do some beer festival stuff today. And we do this all the time. We're, we're wing persons.
Co-wingmen? Wing persons?
We got each other's backs. Let's put it that
way.
I
like that a lot.
And then, so we're on the prowl often together.
Good. I hope when I run into you guys, I run into both of you. That'll be really good times. Because I realized, without my wife, I don't know how I could be doing it. And I need to make sure I'm spending time with her because I realize that is more important to me than the beer, the alcohol, the drinking, the distilling, all that. So I'm glad you do, Mike. You just get cooler and cooler on my list. I'll tell you what, I get more and more respect for you. So, and I got Kryn's back, so I got you.
I appreciate it.
So another question I have for you real quick. This Utah beer blog, and this is a question that I wanted to ask you. It's well known. You see it. It's yellow. It's got a bumblebee on there. It looks like, for me, it's like the Monopoly guy of bumblebees. Like it's got that kind of like, ooh, sneaky kind of like, let's go kind of thing. And this has the hops on the sides. Please tell me this is tatted on your body somewhere.
Oh, I seriously have thought about it.
Mikey,
haven't pulled the trigger on something.
Years. I know. Why not? Have you seen anyone else with it?
No.
Has this been a tattoo?
No.
I want to know. I mean, this
I'd be flattered.
Like, I feel like you should do this as like this is your brand. You invented a brand. This is it, and I feel like that should be on your body somehow.
I don't disagree, and
do we need to start a GoFundMe?
Maybe.
Everyone, we need to start a GoFundMe for Mikey to get tattoo. Local artist.
Mikey Z. I will point out one of my oldest friends, who's a very gifted artist by the name of Owen Richardson, created that for me. Owen's a machine in the art world. He does all the covers for the it's a local book writer, and he makes these like young adult books. I don't want to go off into the weeds on this, but he does all the cover art for, I think it's not Percy Jackson, it's Anyway.
Who knows? The local
artist.
But
anyway, he does all the artwork for that. He's commissioned through Disney to do stuff through those guys. Very talented. I was honored that he would spend a few minutes coming up with that. And all the direction I gave him was, I don't know, Utah, beer hive, bees, something like that. And,
He ran with it.
He put that little, 1920s, 1930s kind of look.
I love it. It's got like the Felix the Cat kind of face. Yeah. I like that. When you see it, you're like, yeah, okay.
And considering Owen doesn't drink, I think he did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. He did good. I mean, I get this tatted on your body already, Mike. All right. How long can you keep this going on?
I never saw it going this long, so I'll just keep on plugging until you guys are sick of me.
I don't think anyone is. Out loud, anyway. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of people sick of me, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're also giving that free information now, and it's got to be, someone's got to do it, because you're right. I'm not going to take the time, and I know if I'm this lazy, there's people younger than I am that are way more lazy than I am. I'm not going to go to each brewer's webpage, even because usually it's hard to update a webpage, by the way, on a consistent basis, especially how many beers come out, to go to, we have 20-some-odd breweries now in Utah, and I want to go to each website to see what their beer is, to see what I'm going to do that night. I'd rather just go to one page and see the new beer. So I like what you do, and I appreciate what that is. But have you ever thought about hiring a prodigy or training a prodigy? Who's going to take over? Is there going to be Mikey too? Like, what's going on? Because one day, brother, you're going to either have to stop or you're going to die. Now, that's the end of the day. That's what's going to happen. Passing the torch?
I don't need to pass a torch. The torch is being torches are being lit throughout the area from different people that are very passionate and have as big a heart as I do in regards to local beer. I mean, I love beer from out of states just as much as everybody, but Utah is a unique place that has its own unique problems, and it needs people that are willing to advocate for just this little Utah-shaped hole in the map.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So do you see other people? I think what Tim Heron's doing over at Utah Beer News is great. When I first got on the beer scene, I thought you guys are one of the same. I really did, because it's really close. Utah Beer Blog, Utah Beer News, probably a misconception. Do you ever see that as competition, or do you see it as same thing what you just said, kind of like a mouthpiece and just kind of sharing information? Do you guys ever share information?
First, I wouldn't call it competition. I call it very complimentary. Mm-hmm. We're both advocating for the same things. Tim's a great guy.
He's
a social media machine.
Yeah, he is.
He does more good for Utah, and that's great with me. Collaborations, I mean, we really haven't. But we do enjoy each other's company, and we run each other, out on the town. We kid each other, and we, have some laughs, and go our separate ways. And it's like that with some of the other, wonderful bloggers and vloggers and influencers. Which is, I'm trying to get used to that term.
Same. I don't know how that's. Yeah, I don't want to be seen as an influencer ever. I just want to.
Yeah.
Help artists. That's what I'm trying to do. Help artists get out there. That's it.
Yeah. It's thrown my way a couple of times, and I'm like, I don't know if that's.
It's weird.
Well, but it's not my place to, throw around labels, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you have craft beer. Have you ever thought about doing craft distilling? Craft liquor? Is it just always going to be beer?
I'm actually getting my whiskey education.
Oh, really?
Through. Informally through people that I know that are in those circles as nerdy about whiskeys and spirits as I am about beer. So we have fun, bouncing why I like this beer and vice versa. Explain to me why I think I like this bourbon and why it could be better, and here's why it could be, and those type of things. So yeah, I'm spreading out in that direction, and wines. I've been
Ciders?
Ciders. We have a couple of great cideries in the area. You know, Mountain West has been around forever, and they're doing great with really nice small batches and just highly drinkable ciders.
Oh yeah.
What do you got? The guys up in
Layton. You got Layton. The
Hivery. You got the Hive up in Layton.
The Hive, and then you got one in South Utah.
You got At a Place, or At a Place in Torrey.
That's right, Torrey. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're growing all their apples on site.
Locally, I believe, in that area, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So are we going to see like a Utah liquor blog, Utah cider blog, Utah? Is there any parts to the Mikey? You're going to be stretched so thin, brother.
No, I
could you imagine doing beer and then liquor one day and cider? Oh.
Yeah, I only have one liver.
And one Mikey, like you said. It's only one Mikey. But it'd be cool to kind of reach out because like, I think the distilling scene in Utah is fascinating.
And, oh, yeah. It's every. As far as growth, I think it's one of the largest alcohol manufacturing sectors in the state right now. I mean, there's distilleries coming. I think there's two have come into existence probably over the last 6 months, and there's probably another two on deck.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all great, local.
And there's even one out in Utah County now.
Which is, Clearwater. Which we actually are doing a collab with them, and hopefully that turns out well.
Nice.
Making a whiskey with them, so hopefully that Excellent. Turns out great. But, Mikey, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. I don't know about you, but I need to go to the restroom. And then we will get back from that. Sound good?
Excellent.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But, guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, guys, we're back. Mikey, you have two more beers in front of you. You brought, and I know, and Corinne called you out. You have some three spots you like to go quite often. Mm-hmm. TF, Fisher, and Shades. And Keto's, I guess, four. Quite often on your route. And you brought a Fisher and TF. And I asked you to bring one of those two because I think they're top. Not trying to put who's better than who, but I love what they're doing. And the boys there, I've been nothing but kind the entire time I go there. So this TF beer and the Fisher beer, which one are we going to open up right now?
Well, which would you prefer? So I picked up a Who's Berry, which is their basically their milkshake IPA.
Interesting.
It's a mixed berry IPA with a little lactose. We can start with that one or depending. I mean, these are two totally different beers. This one from Fisher is one of their newer pale ales, and they went old school IP on this one, so some Amarillo and Centennial hops on this one. So nice bitter finish. Not if you like your IPAs more fruity and juicy, it's probably not your style.
What I say, we go that way.
All right.
So going off that, what is the your opinion on the haze craze, if you will? Now I feel like all IPAs have been hazy.
No, I understand what they're going for. I believe these all came from the initial impetus of these beers was from white IPAs or wit, basically wit beers that were heavily hopped. Mm-hmm. They were kind of cloudy like wit beers can be, And they just kind of grew, and the, you know, with the boom of Northwest hops, American hops, Southern Hemisphere hops, all those really nice, fruity, juicy, citrus, mango, pineapple qualities. I mean, you have all these wonderful flavors and techniques to enhance those flavors while, you know, with late hop additions, you know, instead of boiling hops throughout the boil of the beer, just remove those bittering hops from the beginning of the boil, concentrate on the end boil, which is where you're getting all those fruity flavors from. You know, you can see how those would become very appealing, especially to people that don't like IPAs.
Correct.
It's become a, it's probably going to be the standard just because it's, they're just far more approachable. I don't think they're more drinkable. I think it's much easier to drink a beer with a bit of bitterness on it because it makes it more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, sweet up front, dry in the back, makes it easier to have one or two.
Yeah.
Just personally, having a really nice, smooth, sweet, tropical, Sunny Delight clone.
Mm-hmm.
I can drink one of those and be very satisfied with the one, but two is probably a bit of a stretch.
Overkill, yeah.
So it's here to, they're here to stay for sure. And I'm for them being here. I just don't want breweries to have five
at one time
juicy IPAs and no,
it's frustrating.
Kind of West Coast,
yeah.
More, you know, bitter beers.
And I like how I mean, this is the last Fisher beer I've had in a while that's been clear, because they've come out with a couple of hazies lately.
Yeah, and they, you know, they get the trends. Everybody's got to have one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to. You got to follow your trends, and then sex sells. I feel like hazy is kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
They really are, and it's been good to kind of show people who aren't familiar with the craft beer scene, like, hey, like, kind of enticing, like, this is. I hate people say I don't like beer. No. You haven't found the beer.
Yeah, well, we can find anybody a beer. And another thing, you know, this is not filtered. It is just they let it drop out naturally. And that's another thing that it's kind of bumming me out is, you know, the brewers have spent centuries trying to get beer clear without losing flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much reached the pinnacle of that. And then suddenly people don't want clear beer anymore.
Yeah. Like, I spent so long to make it clear. Yeah.
So I'll have, you know, Mikey's is.
Oh yeah.
Is. Brutally Crystal. Clear.
Yeah.
I love the look of it. It's so bright. And the Fisher is, it's got a nice, you know, amber hue to it. You can see through it nice and easy, and it's still very, very appealing.
And not offensive on the nose, and I like that.
And you still get those citrus qualities in the nose, and you get a bit of pine. It's a little pine needle, and again, starts a little sweet up front, but when it finishes
with that love tap of bitterness,
little herbal, and slightly lingering.
Yeah, but I want to go back for another sip. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel like. If you can make me get a reach for my glass again and again, it's a great beer.
It's kind of like lemonade, where it creates its own need, it creates its own thirst as you drink it.
I like that. Yeah. All right, Mikey. When you think Utah beer scene. What do you think?
Forever, I thought it was the number 3.2. It was a label. It was something we were shackled with for a long time, and that something we just were overcoming. I would have to say it is. I would have to say community, because you know, everybody can say that about craft beer, no matter where you come from. But it's unique to Utah because community here has a very special understanding of what it's like to make beer under heavy shackles, and to make it to where it's competitive all around the world.
Mm.
And you go to any brewery in the area that participates in competitions, and you'll see awards and accolades from, you know, competitions from all over the world, because these are based on blind tastings and not labels.
Yeah.
You don't know where this beer came from. You try it, you like it or you don't, and you judge it on what you have in front of you. And, you know, that's how all beer should be judged. I mean, we all have our biases.
Yeah. Pacifico.
Yeah. No, I hear, you know, I get, you know, go back to hazies, you get a lot of people. It's like, yeah, Utah doesn't know how to make a juicy beer. No, you know, what else? You know, those can only be done on the East Coast. You know, those are only in a few select, you know, highly regarded breweries. But I guarantee you put five unlabeled beers and cups in front of somebody and say, what's your favorite? You know, you may be vindicated in your opinion, or you may end up looking like a complete douche.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, so, you're right. I appreciate that. Thank you. when's the next Mikey Limited release we're going to see?
No plans anytime soon. I think everybody was sick of me pimping my charity beers, so I'm going to give everybody a break from all of that. And
I like that. Pimping my charity beers. Have you ever been a beer judge or want to be a beer judge?
Yes, I judge competitions in various states. My favorite to judge is the one in Idaho Falls. It's just used to be the Mountain Brewers, or they changed it to the World. I can't remember what the name of it is. They did just change the name of it, but it's like the World Beer Awards or something like that.
Yeah.
It's wonderful participation from mostly the West. You get breweries from all over the country, though, primarily participation. It's a Western, and it's open to the world now. So we're going to be judging end of August.
End of August, second last week or last week of August, the 20-something?
I think it's the last.
It's in my calendar somewhere. And you'll be up there.
Yeah, we spent a week up there picking stuff apart, and that's... And again, people are like, oh, sounds rough. I'm like, eh.
A hard life I have.
Yeah. 15 IPAs in a row, and you're like, whew, yeah, this is or 15 malt liquors.
Oh, jeez. Ew.
So, yeah, you don't always get what you crave and love. You know, it's great fun, and it helps you become a better beer appreciator.
Yeah.
And these are all professional beers. It's hard to find flaws in these beers. And generally, don't be a dick unless you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, looking for, you know, for good feedback that these guys can take back and apply or ignore. You know?
Yeah.
And it's really helps them develop my palate. And gain knowledge from beer judges and beer nerds like me.
Oh, beautiful. From around. Absolutely. Do you ever see yourself judging too harshly on your blog?
No. I mean, I'm a little veiled in some of my words. I'll never really come out and say this beer sucks, because somebody may love this beer.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, not my job to tell you this beer is good. I give you my impressions, and if I think a beer's missing a mark, if you just kind of pay attention to the adjectives I'm using, you'll probably figure out which direction I'm going on this. So, but it's not my job to shit all over somebody else's beer.
No, what would you say to those who think you're too harsh on some of the new beers that come out? If you were too harsh on a beer. Hey, you judge my beard not to wear. You make my beer sound as sexy as the other beers you said.
Yeah, I get that more from brewers than from consumers.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple conversations. You know, somebody's called me up and just like, what are you thinking? This is, your description is completely inaccurate. And I'm like, hold on, let me pull over.
Gotcha. I'll
tell you how I arrived at this. And then it's got to be over because this is an opinion thing. It's not a, so I remember having a conversation with one brewer, and I'm the reason this happened is because they just come out with a new nitro beer. There was an existing style before it on CO2. And it was just basically, I'm like, CO2 gas is a bittering gas. And you remove that factor from this beer, it came up sweeter just because of the lack of gas. Nitrogen doesn't have that same bitterness.
Okay.
And so I'm just like, that's how I arrived at that. You know, that's, I base that in, you know, in fact, and it translated to my palate.
Right.
You know, and that's how I arrived at it. And that's how you're going to have to accept it. And, you know, if you want to bring me over and we can, you know, take a couple more samples and we can figure it out. But yeah. I mean,
just trying to be respectful and not ruin that relationship.
Yeah. Because if I can't back it up,
right,
then
you're full of shit, Mickey.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the most underrated brewery in Utah?
Hoppers.
Yeah.
Donovan Steele makes some incredible beers over there in Midvale, and he makes them to style. He makes them clean and super enjoyable. And, he's gold medaled in some very hard styles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very passionate. And if you're poo-pooing Hoppers beers, you better knock it off and get your butt over there and re-experience them, because
absolutely,
he's making incredible stuff. This is the place. Pilsner has multiple gold awards from the Great American Beer Festival.
That's huge, by the way. Huge to say.
Lagers are incredibly hard to make, Pilsners in particular, and he's got so many golds.
No one knows backing him up. I feel like people miss, I mean, they forget about where that is. I tell people, I love their Irish Red.
Yes.
I crave
wonderful
that.
Beer.
I'm like, dear Lord, that's great. And then I remember going for a brewer's lunch once. I'm like, I've never seen this place ever. I'm like, this is happening here. And then they see awards along the whole wall.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a reason for it. But going off that, outside of Hoppers, most underrated brewer with the most potential.
Most underrated brewer. Wow. It's not helpful because I'm forgetting his name at the moment, but he's currently brewing at Toasted Barrel. There's only a couple guys brewing.
Not Lynn, right?
No, it's not the owners. I was just talking to him the other day, and I apologize for completely ruining your name. But a really talented brewer. He's making nice hazy IPAs, nice fruity IPAs, making the sours that they're becoming known for, and utilizing unusual hops and different yeast strains, and just trying some of his stuff the other day. I was
sage.
That's another
sage
the owners.
Damn it!
I'm not saying they're not great brewers, but the brewer they hired.
Damn, I'm not familiar with it.
Again, I'm so sorry, pal. I'm so sorry. he's so underrated. I can't remember his name.
Right. And that helps to the question and the answer.
So keep your eyes on what this guy's doing over at Toasted Barrel.
I like that a lot. That's really cool. This one's kind of a biased answer, but who do you look up to in the Utah craft beer scene?
I look up to Del Vance. He helped found Uinta, owns the Beer Hive, wrote the beer in the Beehive, the book on the history of beer in Utah. He's very, you know, for a transplant, he's very knowledgeable and passionate about craft beer. He's got a beer collection of Brewery-ana collectible old things that are brilliant. I mean, he's just, you know, pristine old stuff. And even if you look in his bar, he's got a lot of old Fisher, old Becker's, even even breweries you probably never even heard of, you know, stuff and posters hanging on the walls. It's a wonderful museum to Utah beer.
That's beautiful.
Like Deli's, he's a good friend and a good friend to Utah beer, especially for a Michigan transplant.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. God, Mikey, that's a great answer. And you're on the spot all every time too. Jesus. If you had the power to change something in Utah craft beer scene, what would it be?
Unlimited beer on draft. I mean, it's so stupid. You know, I'm holding a can here, and it has a beverage in it, you know, and, you know, to my left, I have another container. It just happens to be 5 gallons of it. The way that the beer from each of those containers gets into the glass in front of me does not change how I'm going to drink it. Doesn't mean it's going to be more drinkable or less drinkable. It's just the container and how it gets into my glass. And the fact that you can't get any beer on draft, no matter the ABV, is just so fucking moronic to me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So, and that, in, I think, to add on that, is I feel like the DABC does a disservice in the liquor stores to keeping all our well-made craft beer warm. Like, do what you want, I guess, because I can't say it, but can we have some refrigerating units at all of the DABC stores? All of them. Like, please? I'm sick of this. Tasting a beer and then hitting up one of my buddies and being like, why is your beer dog shit? And then where'd you get it? Oh, yeah, duh.
It's, you know, it's late, but, I mean, you've heard that the new Taylorsville store has
one and only, right, so far?
Yeah, and every new liquor store that is being built will have refrigerators in them. But they will not retrofit any of the other stores.
Ridiculous.
And it pisses me off because I live in Farmington and we just got a brand new gorgeous liquor store. It's not set up like any of the others. Actually has a nice, just has a nice aesthetic inside. I mean, a lot of wood, a lot of shelves with, you know, bright light, a lot of window use. Very nice place. Missed out on this by one stupid rule. You know, it would have been so nice to have cold beer in that liquor store.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
And it's a double-edged sword because often most brewers, the state of Utah is their best customer.
Yeah.
You cannot afford to not sell your beer to these guys because if you're interested in staying in business, you got to.
Pays the bills, right?
Keeps lights on. All I can suggest is, you know, watch dates on your cans and complain.
Yeah.
If stuff is too old, you got to be vocal. I don't know if that falls on the DABC or on the distributors, because the distributors take a good sized cut to get that beer out and get it visible and sold. Mm-hmm. And that also, you know, they need to be rotating, you know, old stock, out.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know if once it's in the state's hands, it's out of the distributor's hands. Or if it's always in the distributor's hands, I don't know. But it's you got to be a good consumer, and if the DABC is not treating you right, and you're just finding old beer, you're gonna have to make the extra trek and go to the source where it's always cold and always fresh.
Absolutely. All right, Mikey. Look, last few questions here, going for you. What do you want to be known for after all this is said and done?
The guy that was the biggest fan of the Utah Suds. Just that guy. That.
Well, once you get the goddamn tattoo, maybe it'll solidify that. I like that. We see any collabs coming out in the future? Are we seeing any you know, not just Mikey releases, but are we seeing any collabs on the blog? Are we seeing any collabs, small brew, small batches from, you know, Hopkins does a lot of small batches. Are we ever going to see like a Mikey small batch somewhere in some brewery?
If somebody's stupid enough to ask, I will stink up your, I will totally stink up their brewery.
Good
but
night. Yeah,
but no, no plans as of yet.
I love this. What's your opinion on Tastemasters and what we're doing or trying to do for the craft community?
I love it because we're very much along the same lines. I mean, we're hitting the locals, and you're covering all forms of fermentation. I've listened to your kombucha.
I love those girls.
The various distilleries, wineries, the Pink Boots edition was great. Getting inside of not just does beer A and B taste okay, and there's people behind the scenes making these beers, and mm-hmm. and that's what these platforms are best at is getting to talk to the people behind the beer,
yeah,
or spirit or wine or
right.
or kombucha. Cider or kombucha.
Mm, right. How can you and I help each other out?
Talking. Drop a line. How's it going, pal? You doing all right? Things well? Great. Did you try this? If you haven't, you should. It's wonderful. Keep conversations like that going. So it would just, you're always on each other's minds. And, it's like if he hasn't talked to this guy, this is a great story that I think would, work really well with a podcast
Ooh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Cause I tell you what, Mikey, when I see you in passing from here on out, I'm giving you a bro hug every time I see you.
I miss hugs and I'll give one back.
I'm going to give one. Cause I think what you've been doing, and it's so awe inspiring and, let's do it. You have one more. Well, we got one from TF.
I was going to say, if you haven't had this.
I have not, actually. Because when I go to TF, I'm very biased. I mean, I'll try anything else he does, but I do the Keller beer. And whenever Kevin would ever mm-hmm. make the Helles, goddamn, that's the best Helles in state. I tell you what, brother.
He is a lager machine, and he's very passionate about those, which it's funny. Then he comes up with something that looks like this.
Ooh, that's berry pink, huh? Fascinating.
That's just from the fruit.
Oh, I can smell it. It's not even to my nose, and I can smell it.
So, yeah, kind of a fruited IPA with a little bit of lactose. All berries.
Ooh, that's a medley. I like this.
Again, this is not one of those beers that you can probably drink more than one can.
That lit my palate up, but it dissipated fast.
There's a lot going on there. I mean, a lot of tart berries. The lactose kind of comes across as just slightly vanilla. And then you got the hops in the background, which are mostly...
I figure out what hops they are.
Yeah, and it would be hard to identify the hops.
Because then I keep going back to the front of the palate where you get all those berries still. You still get that tartness. It's lingering. I like this, actually. This is something my wife would enjoy.
Oh, yeah. It's a type of beer that I think is finding some fairly broad appeal. Again, these aren't...
Traditional, true style.
These aren't poundable beers.
Right, and that too.
And this is... I'm trying to find the ABV on this. 6.8, so yeah.
Oh, that's 5.8. Dangerously crushable.
But very filling.
But I'd rather have this over a seltzer. I think I enjoy this more, and I get that same kind of that berry-like flavor that a seltzer would try to replicate.
You get that enjoyment.
But I this reminds me of making homemade grape juice from grandma's yard and then canning it and then drinking it later. But a little more like just a medley of berries. And like it's really tart at the very beginning. That lactose is kind of just a little tap. I like that. Song.
Just to keep it from getting too puckering. I mean, it's a fairly puckering beer. This is Who's Berry again.
I'm telling you, a candle. Let's make a candle out of it. Oh my God.
I have the perfect thing for that too. You know, the beer candles is like, hey, this is not the only thing in the room that's lit.
Damn.
Okay, Mike, we're doing a collaboration.
Nobody's stealing that.
We said it here first. No, but that's, I like that. And Kevin gives me a hard time all the time. He's like, why aren't you at my place doing your shows, or you come over here more often? And I'm like, Kevin, I tried the best I can. A, I live in Utah County. And then B, your place is always packed.
Yeah. And you got a nice setup here.
It's great. Here in the studio.
Yeah.
We're trying to. Yeah. I mean, we've moved a couple of locations, but we're doing the best we can. And whenever we can't, I'm trying to accommodate people from Ogden sometimes. And so I'm going to have to meet in Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. And I've had a great opportunity to, you know, meet at Hopkins Brewing. And we might, coming up soon, we're going to be interviewing Joel from Mountain West, talk about ciders.
Nice.
And so hopefully we'll be able to interview there.
Joel's a great guy.
He's fantastic.
Very knowledgeable. He knows so much about wine and cider.
He cracks me up. Him and I have some good chuckles.
Yeah. So when I'm, let's say when I need more info on my wine education, he's the guy I talk to.
Oh, yeah. Joel cracks me up.
I'm going to ask you a question, though.
Go for it, brother.
Which beer did you like the best out of all these?
I'm a situational beer drinker. So I think off the top of my head, I was Two Rows most impressive to me because despite the date, I was actually very thrilled on how well I would liked it. Because I've always been kind of, I think the only IPL that I've kind of drink was a Snapdragon that I'm like, okay, here we go. But this one, I'm like, it was easy. I enjoyed the grain bill. I couldn't believe, yeah, that was the first one we drank. And that one for me, I was like, I'm going to get this again. The vanilla porter, I want in the fall, winter now. I want that. I want a couple of those. I mean, hopefully, maybe they're still available at Epic, but I want to be able to open them. You know, I think camping with that beer would be fantastic. The TF beer, I think I want, my wife and I love going paddleboarding, and I'm taking this. I'm going to get some and take paddleboarding. The Fisher, it is a great, sun's coming down. I'm either going to kick it by the fire or I'm going to be outside enjoying like a hike. And this is my peak beer, Fisher all day. So I don't know. I can't say this is my favorite, but they're each, I know when I would drink it and why, and I'm going to get them again.
It is a nice variety of stuff in front of me.
It's literally like on every spectrum.
And it's nice when you can put beers in situations, you know, for your life.
Yeah. And as you should, because I feel like there's always memories to be made, memories to be have, and I like that. Because some people focus on, you know, what's going to happen after life. And when that happens, that happens. I'm focused on my life now. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm like. I don't want to choose the beer for that situation. Like sometimes I want a crushable crushable lager. Sometimes I want a wheat beer, a Berliner, or sometimes I won't say it's out loud usually, but sometimes I'll take a seltzer. Sometimes. I love TV static. I love it.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, it is easy, very easy for me to get beered out. So I look for alternatives all the time.
Cider has been my good alternative to go to. If you ever get a chance to get some Original Sin from the DABC, the Black Widow,
yeah.
I recommend that one. It's a blackberry cider from New York. It's fascinating. If you haven't had it yet, I will grab you a can and bring you some because it will blow your mind.
Excellent.
I mean, it's a shit cider. You never like it. Sorry. I'm up. It's like when you go to the movie theater and be like, it's the best movie ever, and you go in high hopes. My bad, Mikey. Oh, God. I'm just going to give you this cider, see what you think. No, Mikey, but you know, is there any other questions you have for me or anything else I can do for you to help you and your blog?
No, just I appreciate everybody bothering to waste their bandwidth to come over and check us out. And please don't stop because, I mean, it's I've always said it's more therapy for me.
That's awesome.
And so come by and...
Yeah, I told you I'm going to say hi to you, and we're going to talk more beers and ciders and other such things. If there is something I can do for you in the future, please reach out. We're here to help you out. You are doing beautiful things with the Utah Beer Blog. Keep that going. I know you're going to continue. If you ever need feedback or help, let me know. Reach out. I look up to you in a way where I'm almost jealous of the fact that you live in Salt Lake County area where you can go to these breweries and I have to go up there and, you know, you're closer than I am. But besides that, it's fun to watch you try these beers. I'm like, you know what? If Mikey says it's something I should try, then you know, you're someone I look up to in the way where, like, you know what? Yeah, I'll give it a second, another opinion, then for sure I'll go that way to try it again. And you're doing great things, man. And I hear about it all the time. And text me when you get that tattoo, because I will be there.
Okay.
No, Mikey, is there anything else you have for us today?
No, thank you for what you're doing, and I appreciate you reaching out and starting a friendship.
I can't wait to see what happens in the future, brother. But we'll end on that, and then until the next fermented beverage, my friend.
Prost.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.